Man, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Don't you believe that? I love singing that song because I don't know about you, but some of the churches that I grew up in whenever I was a kid, to say the words, "There is joy in the house of the Lord," would have seemed kind of out of place, you know, because we would all come on Sunday morning and we all just look like, you know, we were very somber. And it's good to be reverent and somber before the Lord sometimes, but it's also good to remember that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? And there's joy when we come to Christ for healing, like we just heard in that prayer. All these people interact with Jesus in the scriptures. We see when they go away rejoicing a lot of times whenever they're healed. And it's good for us to remember that's who God is, that's who Jesus is, and that's what we have come this morning to receive. So last week we started a new series, and we're talking about how even when we're existing in our lives, even when we're operating in our lives, sometimes we have this nagging feeling like there's something more out there. There's something, life has something more to offer, and sometimes we feel like maybe we're missing out on something. And the truth is that apart from Christ, we are. Scripture tells us, but wait, there's more. I've got more for your life. I've got more that I want to give you. The Lord wants to give us more than we could possibly even imagine. And we kind of dug into that a little bit last week, and we learned the first step is to surrender to God. That Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. He prays for several things, but the first thing is that they would be surrendered, that their lives would be submitted completely to God. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the next thing. Once we're surrendered, right, then another thing can begin to happen in our lives, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But as I was thinking, this image came to my mind, and I know my mind works in weird ways, so just kind of go with me, all right? But this image came to my mind. All of you guys out there, you remember going on a road trip with your boys in college? You guys remember this. Like, I was in a band in college, and so we were traveling around in a 15-passenger van playing everywhere, and I remember, like, you get into the car or the van or whatever, you'd be so excited about we're going to have a fun weekend going on this road trip, things are going to be awesome. You get into the car, and you're on the trip for about 5 minutes when someone in the van decides to bust open a bag of corn nuts. You know what I'm talking about? Bust open a bag of corn nuts, but usually they didn't just want to bust open a bag of corn nuts. They'd also bust open a monster, like a monster and a bag of corn nuts. Like that you can't. I can't think of much that's more disgusting than those two things put together. You know. And then, as you're in the road trip a little bit, you start to notice that the other guy sitting in the front seat with you, that guy's deodorant has clearly stopped working, right? Probably stopped working several hours before you began the trip, right? And you've got the air conditioner on blast because it's hot outside and it's blowing underarm funk right up into your nose, right? And the last thing maybe that you realize is that the Allsup's burrito you ate before the trip may have been a bad choice, right? So a lot of times we get into a trip and we start out on the trip and we're all excited about going. We're all excited about what we might see and what we might experience. But we get onto the trip. We haven't even been on it that long when we start to think, oh man, what did I just get myself into? I just locked myself into a car that in just a few moments is going to have this crazy mixture of corn nuggets and Monster, right? And deodorant and Allsup's burrito all circulating at the same time. And really what we want to do is just get out of the car. That's really what we want, right? And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that a lot of times in my life. I experience that kind of feeling even in my life in a lot of other ways, and particularly sometimes with my faith. I've had these moments with God where I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember signing up for this. I know I'm on this journey with you, but I don't remember signing up for what I'm going through right now. I've had that moment a lot of times too. And I believe that there are people here this morning, and maybe that's where you are. You're like, gosh, I didn't think that this was where I was going to end up. I didn't think that this was something I was going to have to walk through. And so when you're imagining your life right now, when you're thinking about your life right now, it's not much of, but wait, there's more. It's a whole lot like, please stop the car. Can I just get off? I think that's where a lot of us are living. In fact, the people that Paul was writing to in Ephesus, a lot of them were feeling the same way, maybe. I mean, the church in Ephesus, Paul had to leave Ephesus at the last minute because he was about to be killed, right? And so all kinds of stuff was stirred up whenever he was in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus had experienced all kinds of persecution. So this is a people that were familiar with going through really difficult and painful times. And as Paul is writing to them, they may have even been going through that themselves in this moment. And as he's writing to them, they may have been even experiencing persecution, adversity, right? They might have been even going through it at this moment. And so one of the things that Paul is praying for them, he's writing to them and praying for them that they would be encouraged. And the words that he says to them, I think, are good for you and I this morning. And it's good because my friend Alyssa read this to you a little earlier on this morning. But she read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. So this whole time that we're going to spend together, we're going to spend on just a few verses in Ephesians where Paul is praying for his friends in the church in Ephesus. And this morning, we're going to zero in on verse 17. He says, then, and we talked about this last week, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, which is unbelievable that Paul would say that could be true. But then the next thing he says is really important, and I want us to focus on it this morning. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So there's two things that the Apostle Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and two things that he's praying for us as well this morning. The first thing is he's praying that we would be alive. He's praying that we would be alive. So a plant, a tree, any kind of plant, the roots, when a seed is planted, it begins to sprout roots. Those roots grow down into the soil where there are nutrients and where there's moisture that's needed to keep that plant alive. So those roots will spread out trying to find the stuff that it needs to help that plant be alive, to help that plant thrive. Okay, and those roots, they intuitively know where to go, right? They drill down into the earth. They spread out looking for the nutrients and the moisture that they need to survive. They grow out, they multiply in order to give life-giving nourishment to the plant. And so once we've surrendered to Christ, which is what we talked about last week, once we've surrendered to Christ, he's begun to make his home in our hearts. Then what happens is our souls begin to search out the life-giving nourishment of his love. And Jesus actually talks about this in John chapter 15. He's praying. This is one of the last times that Jesus hangs out with his disciples before he's crucified, and he's praying for them before he dies, before he's crucified. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, this is what he says as he's teaching them. He says this. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it'll be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So there's a couple of things that Paul understands and Paul knows and that Jesus is talking about here in this passage that we need to latch onto this morning. The first thing is this: God's love is life. So Jesus is like, look, I'm the vine, you are the branches, I want you to remain in me. And that image that he uses, we just talked about Christ dwelling in our hearts, making his home in our hearts. Here Jesus is saying, make your home in me. And so what we're supposed to get from this passage from Jesus is the image of a branch being grafted onto a vine. And what would happen when a branch was grafted onto a vine, the vine would grow into the branch and the branch would grow into the vine until you weren't able to tell where the vine stopped and the branch started. They became one thing. And whenever that happened, whenever a branch grew into a vine, right, then the life-giving nourishment could flow from the vine into the branch, and that branch would produce fruit. Life comes from the vine. And Paul, as he's praying for his friends in Ephesus, he's like, look, I want your roots to grow down deep into God's love, because God's love is the source of life and nourishment that all of us need. And when our roots grow down into him, we thrive, we live, we bear fruit. God's love is life. So many of us, though, so many of us this morning are trying to live our lives apart from the love of Christ. We're trying to do things on our own. We're trying to navigate all of this life on our own, and we're not really super focused or super interested on allowing the roots of our lives to grow down into God's love. And the problem is that when the things of God, when really focusing on and pouring ourselves into the love of God, when that's not really our focus, when that's really not our intention, when we're not proactively doing that, what happens is that's a kind of life that ultimately is empty. And ultimately, it leads us to death. And that's just the reality of our situation apart from Christ. Apart from being in God's love, a branch that doesn't attach itself to the vine, a branch that for whatever reason can't grow into the vine, that branch dies and it withers. And you got to pull it off and throw it away and burn it up. That's all really it's good for. And the same is true of you and I. When our roots aren't growing down into the love of Christ, we die. But here's the other thing. God's love is life, but your soul knows what you need. When we've surrendered our heart to Christ, when we've surrendered ourselves to him, and when he makes his home in our heart, our souls begin to seek out the things of God. We stretch, our souls stretch toward the love of God, like roots from a plant will stretch down into the soil to find the nutrients, to find the moisture that they need. Our souls seek it out. And so if we're in a place this morning where we don't find ourselves drawn to places where the love of God is working, if we're not drawn to the things of God, if our souls aren't stretching toward the things of God, it could be because we've never surrendered our heart and our life to Christ, because our lives aren't really surrendered to him, because he hasn't begun to make his home in our hearts. But when we're surrendered to him, we seek him out. Our souls seek him out. You know, when sometimes, and this is going to surprise you, okay? But sometimes I can get a little distracted, okay? I will come to work in the morning, and I'll get busy doing a bunch of stuff, and I'll kind of be pounding through my day, and then it'll be like 4 or 5 o'clock, and I'll start to realize, you know what? I'm not feeling very good right now. I wonder what the problem is. I'll feel lightheaded, feel a little dizzy, you know, kind of weak, you know, and I'll be wondering, what's going on? And then as I think about it, I'll realize it's because I haven't really eaten anything or drank anything all day. I've just been so focused and so hammered down that I just completely miss all these things that I should be doing to kind of take care of myself over the course of the day. When I feel that, right, my body's like, look, you need something right now. You need some water up in you, right? You need some food up in you. You can't survive acting like this. And my body will be telling me, sending me signals that I'm thirsty, that I'm hungry. And I just want to say that there are people who are gathered here this morning, and there's this aching that you're experiencing down in your soul, right? And you know something's missing. You know something's not right. And you've been trying to find all kinds of ways to cause that aching to subside. You've been looking for all kinds of places that you can grow your roots into, So that you won't feel this aching need, this vast like expanse of nothingness that's going on inside of your heart. But the truth is that it's God's love that you need, and it's God's love that will provide nourishment. And the aching that you're experiencing is your soul crying out for the love of God. And the only place to find that this morning is in him. Your roots are supposed to grow down deep into God's love. So look, there's a fair question that you might be asking right now, okay? And that question would be this. That sounds really good, Brad. That's a neat philosophy. My roots are supposed to grow down into God's love. That's great. How do I actually do that? Okay, like what steps do I take in my life to cause my roots to grow down into God's love? What does that even look like? Well, here at First Shallow Water, we've kind of summed it up like this. You know that our mission statement is leading people into growing relationships to Christ, right? You know our vision statement is serving all of Shallow Water with grace and truth, right? But our strategy, the way that we go about living out our mission statement and our vision statement is we worship, we grow, we serve, and we go. We do those four things. Those four things are things that help us to grow our roots deep down into the depths of God's love. And here's the thing, we didn't invent that. I know it sounds kind of cool, right? Worship, grow, serve, go. It even rhymes, got a rhythm to it, right? But we didn't make that up. All throughout Scripture, you see God saying, these are the things that we do if we want to bring ourselves into contact with the love of God so that our roots can grow down into His love. So what does that look like? We worship. Well, what you need to know about that is that worship is what we gather together on Sunday mornings to worship, and that's important, but worship is not singing some songs to the Lord, and some of us get confused about that. Worship, the word that we translate worship in Scripture often is a word that refers to the posture that you take before a king. And in the ancient world, when a king walked into the room, everybody fell down on the ground with their face to the floor. That's the posture that you took before a king. And so worship means to give reverence and to give honor to God in that way, to humble ourselves before Almighty God. That's what worship means. Our lives are supposed to be characterized by worship. And if we want our roots to grow down deep into God's love, what we first have to do is humble ourselves before Him. What we first have to do is acknowledge our position before Him. What we first have to do is fall on our face before the Lord of hosts. And here's the thing. One of the things that really helps us to cultivate that kind of lifestyle is when we gather together with other believers who are committed to doing that themselves. And so when we come into a room like this on a Sunday morning and we worship together, our souls are practicing. Like, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to allow my roots to grow down into God's love. I want you to think about it. While we were singing those songs this morning, did you feel the roots of your heart growing into God's love? I mean, is that what we were doing? Because, you know, maybe some of us were saying, wow, I really wish that person behind me would stop singing so loud, right? Some of us were probably thinking, you know, I wish I hadn't worn this shirt today, right? Some of us may have been thinking, especially some of my teenage friends might be thinking, I really hope that special someone noticed me this morning when I walked into the room, right? And so here we are gathered in this room, and we're singing about the glory of the Lord God Almighty. The words are up on the screen, right? About the glory of the Lord, about the vast expanse of His love for us, about what He has done on the cross to redeem and to save us. That's what the music is playing. That's what the words are saying. And when we're in the middle of that moment, we're thinking about everything else other than the love of God. And in this moment where we have the opportunity that's been created for us, that's been cultivated for us to allow our roots to grow down deep into God's love, we're doing everything else other than that. And I just want to say, if it's difficult for us in this moment to really turn our hearts to God, to allow our roots to grow into His love, when all of that is happening, it's almost impossible for us to expect that we'd be able to do that on a Monday afternoon or Friday morning or a Tuesday night. So if we want our roots to grow down into God's love, we got to worship. And friends, when I say worship, I mean that's something that we do according to Scripture. We love the Lord our God with what? All our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And when we gather into this place to worship God, shouldn't it involve all of us? Shouldn't we be pouring all that we are into our reverence and our worship of God? I feel like anything less than that is selling ourselves short. But worse than that, it's selling Almighty God short. Does He not deserve for our hearts to be turned to Him? We worship. And we grow. We grow. And this really refers to putting into place practices that bring you into contact with God's love so that your roots can grow down into it, right? I told you, our souls will search out and find the love of God, and they'll grow toward it. They'll stretch toward it. If we put ourselves in positions all the time where we're in contact with God's love, our souls will naturally stretch into that. They'll naturally grow into that. And so what does that look like in our lives? Well, how about regularly reading and reflecting on and memorizing Scripture? Like, we have this amazing thing that's been given to us, the story of Jesus Christ and His redemption from the beginning of time. We can hold it in our hand. We can put it in our pocket. We can have it with us all the time. And if we want our roots to grow down into the love of God, maybe we should spend some time reflecting on the story of how that love arrived for us, how it came for us, how it pursued us. And friends, I got to tell you, there's no way for us to grow if we're not regularly engaging with Scripture. We got to spend intentional time in God's presence through prayer. We've got to spend intentional time seeking Him out. The more we do that, the more our roots grow into God's love. And we've got to spend intentional time in community. Because the truth is, we were never made to spend all of our time searching after God in isolation by ourselves. We weren't created for that. We were created to do it with other believers. And if we're going to grow, the only way we will do that is if we grow with other believers. Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. And I've got to tell you, if I cut my finger off today, it will not grow, right? I'm not a lizard. If I cut my finger off today, what it will do is die. That's what body parts do when they're separated from the body. And that's what happens to you and I when we're not intentional, when we're not focused, when we don't deeply desire the community of the body of Christ. If we're going to grow, we got to be connected. So we worship, we grow, we serve. We serve. This morning in youth Sunday school, we were talking about this passage in Mark where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Sometimes I wonder what Peter thought about that, you know? I mean, maybe he was like, really, Jesus? You know? But she had a fever and Jesus heals her. Do you know what she does immediately after she was healed? Do you know the first thing she does after she was healed? Scripture tells us she got up and she served them dinner. The first thing she did when she was healed is she served. And guys, there's a truth in that all of us need to hear this morning. Healed people serve. It's what they do. When we go through our lives expecting everyone to do things for us, when we go through our lives expecting other people to meet our needs, right? Those are sick people. Sick people expect for everyone to meet their needs. Sick people understand the world as a place that is built and designed to make them happy, to make them feel fulfilled. That's who sick people are. Healed people serve. And if you want your roots to grow down into God's love, maybe we should act like Jesus Himself, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather He emptied Himself. He poured Himself. He lowered Himself to the point of being a slave and was obedient to God, even unto death on the cross. And because of that, He's been given the name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. If we want to if we want our hearts to grow into the love of Christ, we want our roots to grow into the love of Christ, we've got to serve. So we worship, we grow, we serve. Guess what else? We go. Did you know that the whole point of fruit is reproduction? That's the whole point of it. The reason why fruit exists, it's tasty and it's delicious and it's full of nutrients, right? Because when that thing falls, it's a seed, right? It's the seed, and then it's all the nutrients that seed needs to grow. The whole point of fruit is reproduction. And in fact, sometimes fruit is really tasty and good because like other animals will eat that. And then, I'm not going to get into too much detail about it, but when they eat it, it spreads the seed out all over wherever those animals go, right? And so what happens is like my backyard, it can be fertilized, you know, in amazing ways. When we eat fruit, right, it's all the design of it is reproduction. And guys, you know what that means for us? Our roots can't grow down into the love of Christ unless we are intentionally committing our lives to spreading the truth of the gospel, unless we're serious about sharing the love of Christ with other people. Our roots can't grow into God's love unless we go. And there are people here this morning, and you love to go to Sunday school. You love to come to church, right? You love to be involved in a life group. But if I were to ask you, when's the last time? How many times over the course of the last year have you shared the gospel with someone? You'd have to think really hard about that. And many of us might have to say, not one time. Can I be honest with you? That is not the life that you and I were meant to live. That's not the purpose that God has called us to. What are we chasing after? What are we chasing after if sharing the love of Christ with other people is that far down on our list? There's no way for our roots to grow into God's love unless we're sharing God's love with other people. So we're supposed to be alive, friends, but guess what else? Paul's praying that they would be strong. He's praying that his friends in Ephesus would be strong. Sometimes, not nearly often enough, I go out into my backyard and I try to pull weeds, okay? I hate doing that. It really annoys me, okay? But some of those weeds, man, I could pick those weeds up with two fingers and just pluck those suckers right up out of the ground. You know what I mean? Some of them are easy to pull out. Some of them, though, like I'm pulling on it, and then I've got like both hands on it, and I'm trying to pull that weed. It's not coming out. Those weeds, the ones that are really hard to pull up, those are the ones that I probably let go a little bit too long. And the roots of those have really grown deep, and they spread out wide. They're hard to pull up out of the ground. They're established. That plant is established. That's why it's hard to pull up. When our roots grow into God's love, that's what happens to us. We become stable. We become steady. And Jesus actually used that image. He's talking in Matthew 13. He gave this great parable, and it's a parable about the soil. His farmer is throwing seed out, which was crazy. Why would a farmer just randomly throw seed out places? But that's what Jesus is saying the farmer's doing. And that seed lands on all this different kind of ground. And one of the kinds of ground, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus says this. He said, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And so the seed sprouted quickly, but because the soil was shallow, the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. There's a couple of things that we ought to know about life from this passage. The first one is that adversity is a reality. Jesus is saying, the hot sun shines, y'all. And when the hot sun shines on those of us who aren't rooted, we die. We wither. We die. We're all going to have to walk through painful circumstances. But what will those circumstances do to us? What kind of a person will we become on the other side of them? When our roots grow down deep, we're stable. We're able to withstand the difficult times, the painful seasons in our lives. And some of us know exactly how that feels because right now you're experiencing it. There's issues in your family. Right now there's financial difficulties that you're facing that seem overwhelming. Struggles in your job or your career. Grief over losing someone that you care about, that you love. Heartache as you watch your child struggle. All of us know about that. All of us have experienced that in one form or another. We need roots in order to be able to withstand those times. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus describes this section of the parable. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And what you and I need to hear this morning is that being rooted makes us strong. Deep roots allow us to persevere. Deep roots sustain us when things are really hard. You need to be rooted. Listen, are you exhausted this morning? You feel weak this morning? You feel like that whatever it is that you're facing this morning has you on the verge of collapse? What we need are our roots to go down deep into God's love. And if you really are feeling that way this morning, the response should be, I'm going to put myself into contact with God's love so that I can be rooted there. That's where we find peace and security and stability. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but I was talking to my oldest niece, Brianna, and her mom was sick. And her mom was just a few weeks from passing away from cancer. And I was talking to Brianna, and I was just sharing with her, just listening to her really talk about this painful thing that she was facing, losing her mom. And I remember she told me, she said, Uncle Brad, I don't know. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my faith if my mom dies. And that broke my heart, you know, for her, because I knew the deep pain that she was experiencing. But in that moment, what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with her, I just told her, listen, Brianna, your faith is not some fragile thing that somebody can just knock up against and knock over. Your faith is not something that can just be pushed over whenever adversity comes against it. Your roots have grown down deep into the love of God. And this circumstance is awful and as painful as it is. It's not strong enough to pull you up out of the soil of God's love. And I want you to know that. When I tell you that when our roots are deep in God's love, we're strong, we're stable, we're steady, I want you to know I'm not making light of what you're going through. I'm not giving you some kind of trite cliche. I've been in those places just like you are this morning where it feels like, I don't know if I'm going to survive this. And what I can tell you is that when my soul was stretched deep into the love of God, I was able to survive, and not just survive, I was able to thrive because of His might, because of His power, because of His life in me. And I want that for you this morning. I want for you to be able to know that you're steady, that you're secure, that these circumstances that you're in right now are not going to uproot you. I want your roots to grow down into the love of Christ. You want to know what the love of Christ looks like? The love of Christ looks like His body broken for you. The love of Christ looks like His blood spilled for you. This morning we're going to receive communion together. And as we do, what I really want for you to do is I want you to reflect on the love of Christ this morning. The sacrifice that he made out of love for you. And I want you to allow your roots to begin to grow deep into that love. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, you can't be rooted until you've surrendered. And some of us here this morning, we just need to cry out to the Lord and say to him, maybe for the first time, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. Some of us need to surrender our lives to him first. And others of us, we've been trying to find our security, our stability. We've been trying to find our nourishment and our life in a bunch of different places. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is reminding us that the source of life, the source of hope, the source of stability is love that would stretch itself out on a cross for me and for you. And as you come to the Lord's table this morning, maybe you just need to ask God for forgiveness, for seeking him in all these other ways, and ask him to help your roots to grow deep into his love. I'm going to ask our servers and our ushers to come forward. We're going to enter into a time of worship through communion. We receive communion through a process called intinction. It's just a fancy word that means you tear off a piece of bread and you dip it into the juice and then you eat it. There's also a gluten-free option that's in the little container. You can take one of those if you'd rather. But I want for all of us to come to the table of the Lord this morning. This table doesn't belong to First Shallow Water. This table belongs to the Lord God Almighty. It's his table. And so it doesn't matter what church you belong to. It doesn't matter what church you're a member of. It doesn't matter where you're from, what side of the tracks you were born on. The love of Christ is available for everyone. And his table is open for everyone this morning. And so as you're directed, you're welcome to come and to reflect on the love of Christ with us this morning. If you've surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, if you belong to Christ, this table is open to you this morning. So I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to enter into a time of communion as we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us. Stand up and let me pray for us. Father God, we come before you this morning and we ask you, Lord God, to convict us, to move into and move in our hearts. Lord, show us. Reveal to us those places, those times in our lives that we've tried to invest. We've tried to look for life and for stability and for strength in every other place other than your love. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to come face to face with the truth of your body broken for us, your blood spilled for us. I pray that you would cause the roots of our souls to grow down deep into your love. We need you, Lord God. Move in our hearts this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.